Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem of Avram Goldreich, and today we're Zichu Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes Vav. The first parak of Rosh Hashanim. Masechus Rosh Hashanah has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chai Bas Esther. So the three daps we're going to focus on. Number one, Rabbi said, Esrog Bashishi Shenichnas L'Shviz, Batur Mina Meiser and Batur Mina Biur. An Esrog of the sixth year, which Rashi explains means that it emerged in the sixth year, which entered into the seventh year and was then picked, is pater from Meiser and it's pater from Biur. It would seem that Rabbi determines the Shemitah year of an Esrog by when the fruit emerges, and therefore here it gives it the status of a sixth year fruit. This would exempt it from Biur since it's not Shemitah produce. Rabbi continues, Ubashviz Shenichnas L'Shminis, and an Esrog of the seventh year, which entered into the eighth year and was then picked, Patur b'Meiser b'Chayevis b'Biur, is pater from Meiser b'Chayev and Biur. Abai said to Rabbi that the latter ruling regarding the Esrog that emerged in the seventh year and picked in the eighth is understandable because it follows a chumrah in regard to Shemitah law by subjecting the Esrogim to Biur. But the first ruling regarding an Esrog that emerged in the sixth year and was picked in the seventh, why is it pater from Biur? It must be because you go after Chanata. So why is it pater from Maestros? Rabbi answered, Yada kol mamashmashim ba. Everyone's hand touches it during the seventh year and you say it should be subject to Maeser? Since it is for all practical purposes ownerless, it's pater from Maeser. Rav Hamnuna has a conflicting view. Point number two, the Gemara challenges the rulings of Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna from the following brisa, which taught the Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that an Esrog of the sixth year, which enters the seventh year, is pater from Meiser and Biur. She'enu chodav she'chai b'meiser im ken gadol b'chiyuv v'nilka b'chiyuv. For you have nothing that is chai b'meiser unless it grew under conditions of chiyuv and was picked under conditions of chiyuv. Meaning, it must grow and be picked in the same year. An Esrog that grew in the seventh year and was picked in the eighth year is pater from Meiser and Biur, for you have nothing that is chai b'biur unless it grew and was picked in the seventh year. Rashi explains that it's not subject to Biur because the pasuk in which the chiyuv of Biur is derived, and for your animal and beast that is in your land shall all of its crop be to eat, which teaches that Shemitah produce is permitted only as long as it's still available in the field for beasts, is speaking only about the seventh year, not the eighth. And point number three, the Gemara answers the above challenge by saying, the Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's ruling is the subject of a Malchokas Tanaim. For it was taught in a Brisa, Rabbi Yossi said, of Thomas testified in the name of five Zakenim, Esrog Achil Kitasu L'Meiser. In the case of an Esrog, we follow the time of its picking in regard to Meiser. Rabbi Seinu Nimnu V'Ushva Amru, however, the Rabbanim voted in Ushan ruled, Achil Kitasu Ben L'Meiser Ben L'Shviz. We follow the time of its picking in regard to both Meiser and Shemitah. Now the Gemara asks, who mentioned anything about Shemitah? And answers that it's Chasir Michzer. The Brisa is missing words and should be read that Alftomus testified that an Esrog goes after its picking for Meiser and after Chanata for Shemitah. However, the Rabban ruled that we follow the time of its picking for Meiser and Shemitah. We see from here that Rabba and Rav Hamnuna follow the view of Alftomus. So once again, the three points are number one. Rabba said, Esrog bashishis sheniknas al-shvis patur mina Meiser u patur mina Biur. An Esrog of the sixth year, which Rashi explains means that it emerged in the sixth year, which entered the seventh year, and was then picked, is pater from Meiser and is pater from Biur. It would seem that Rabbah determines the Shemitah year of an Esrog by when the fruit emerges, and therefore here it gives it the status of a six-year fruit. This would exempt it from Biur since it's not Shemitah produce. Rabbah continues, Ubashviz, Shenichnas al-Shminis, and an Esrog of the seventh year, which entered into the eighth year, and was then picked, Batur b'Meiser b'Chayevis b'Biur, is pater from Meiser b'Chayev and Biur. Abai said to Rabbah that the latter ruling regarding an Esrog that emerged in the seventh year and was picked in the eighth is understandable because it follows a chumra in regard to Shemitah law by subjecting the Esrogim to Biur. But the first ruling regarding an Esrog that emerged in the sixth year and was picked in the seventh, why is it pater from Biur? It must be because you go after Chanata. So why is it pater from Maestras? Rabbah answers, Yadakol m'mashmashim ba. Everyone's hand touches it during the seventh year, and you say it should be subject to Meiser? Since it's for all practical purposes ownerless, it's pater from Meiser. Rav Hamnuna has a conflicting view. Point number two, the Gemara challenges the rulings of Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna from the following brisa, which taught that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon, that an Esrog of the sixth year, which enters the seventh year, is pater from Meiser and Biur. She'enu chodav she'chayev b'Meiser elam kim gadol b'chiyuv b'nilka b'chiyuv. For you have nothing that is chayev b'Meiser unless it grew under conditions of chiyuv and was picked under conditions of chiyuv. Meaning, it must grow and be picked in the same year. An Esrog that grew in the seventh year and was picked in the eighth year is pater from Meiser and Biur. For you have nothing that is chayev and Biur unless it grew and was picked in the seventh year. Rashi explains that it's not subject to Biur because the pasuk on which the chiyuv of a Biur is derived, and for your animal and beast that is in your land shall all of its crop be to eat, which teaches that Shemitah produce is permitted only as long as it's still available in the field for beasts, is speaking only about the seventh year, not the eighth. And point number three, the Gemara answers the above challenge by saying that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda's ruling is the subject of a Malchokas HaNaim. For it was taught in a Braisa, Rabbi Yossi said, of Thomas testified in the name of five Zakenim, Esrog Acher Likitasa LaMeiser. In the case of an Esrog, we follow the time of its picking in regard to Meiser. Rabbosenu Nimu Be'usha Ba'amru, however, the Rabbanim voted in Usha and ruled, Acher Likitasa Ben LaMeiser Ben LaShviz. We follow the time of its picking in regard to both Meiser and Shemitah. The Gemara asks, who mentioned anything about Shemitah? And answers that it's Chasur Mechzura. The Braisa is missing words and should be read that Alf Thomas testified that an Esrog goes after its picking for Meiser and after Chanata for Shemitah. However, the Rabban ruled that we follow the time of its picking from Meiser and Shemitah. We see from here that Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna follow the view of Alf Thomas. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Tezvav, and our standard Simmon is a fruit bowl because Tezvav is two, Tu Bishvat is fruit, and we use a fruit bowl to make the Simmon a little more distinct. So here goes. The farmhands who collect the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year work for a farmer who is based in testifying Esrogim go after Lakita for Meiser and Chanata for Shemitah. Once again, in slow motion. The farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls, that must be on Daf Tezvav, too, Tu Bishvat. The farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls, which reminds Rabbah holds that even though an Esrog had Chanata in the sixth year, because everyone's hands touches it during the seventh year, it's practically ownerless and therefore putter from Maisras. So the farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year, which reminds Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that for something to be chayv in Meisers or Biur, it must have Chanat and Lakita in the same year. So the farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints all over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year worked for a farmer who was embased in testifying Esrogim go after Lakita for Meiser and Chanata for Shemitah. Which reminds us, we learned that Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna go according to Alf Thomas, who testified that an Esrog goes after its picking for Meiser and after Chanata for Shemitah. However, the Rabban ruled that we follow the time of its picking for Meiser and Shemitah. So once again, the farmhands who collected the Esrogim with fingerprints over them into fruit bowls from the crop that emerged and were picked in the same year worked for a farmer who was embased in testifying Esrogim go after Lakita for Meiser and Chanata for Shemitah. All right, now it's time for a four-block back Chazara. Daf Yadolf. So the Simmer Daf Yadolf is stars. So here goes. The stars, that must be more in Daf Yadolf. The stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit, which reminds us, we have Malkokas when the world is created. Rabbi Yezu says, we know the world is created in Tishrei, for the Pasuk states, Eitz Pri, when the land is laden with fruits, which is Tishrei, whereas Rabbi Yeshua says, we know it's created in Nisan, for the another Pasuk states, Eitz Osa Pri, when the earth has trees producing fruit, which is Nisan. So the stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit, and that were named after the tzaddikim that died on the same day they were born, which reminds us that we learned that each of the holds the elves died in the month that they were born, for it's stated, Yomer Alem ben Mea v'as Mishana Anokhi Yom. And he, Moshe, said to them, I'm 120 years old today. So why does the Torah add the word today? To teach them, Moshe meant to say the following, Hayom Malayama Ushnosa. Today my days and years are full. This comes to teach you that Kosh Baruch Hu sits and makes full the years of Tzaddikim from day to day and from month to month. So the stars twinkling over the earth that was covered in vegetation and laden with fruit and that were named after the Tzaddikim that died on the same day they were born, knew a Mabul was coming when they noticed that Mazal Kim was coming up in the daytime and missing two stars. Which reminds us, the Malchokas regarding when the Mabul started is based upon the earlier Malchokas regarding when the world was created. The Pasuk states that the Mabul began in the 600th year in Noach's life in the second month on the 17th day of the month. Now, which month is the second month? According to Rebbe Eliezer, since the world was created in Tishrei, the second month is Mar Cheshvan. And according to Rebbe Yeshua, who holds the world was created in Nisan, the second month is Iyar. Both agree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Mazal Kima up at that time and took two stars from Kima and brought the Mabul to the world. Daf Yud Beis. So the Simmer Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. As one brother of 12? 12 brothers? That must be one Daf Yud Beis. As one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, which reminds us that according to Eliezer, the change in nature during the Mabul is that they were punished with boiling water since they sinned with a boiling substance, meaning semen, and this is learned from the word shachacha mentioned by the Mabul, which means subsided, and by Megillas Esther with Vachamas Amel, shachacha, the anger of the king cooled down. So as one of the brothers played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking maaser from their beloved vegetables, which reminds us that Bryson mentioned that Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for both the derabbanan of tithing vegetables and for deraisa maaseres. He mentioned maaser yarek first since it's chavi to him because it's a derabbanan. So as one brother played with his remote control boat in a boiling cauldron of hot water, his 11 brothers were busy taking maaser from their beloved vegetables while standing under a big sign reminding them not to take maaser sheni in the third and sixth years. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a source that there's no chi of a maaser sheni in the third and sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, but the Pasuk said shenas maaser, referring to only one maaser, and not the typical two of maaser rishon and maaser sheni. We know that Maaser Rishon is always brought based on a hekesh of Maaser Rishon to Nachalah. Just as an inheritance has no interruption, so too Maaser Rishon has no interruption, but is received by the Levi every year in the Shemitah cycle. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy, Bar Mitzvah boy. That must be more on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, which reminds us more about a mission that taught the produce and olives required tithing when they grow to one-third of their maturity. Rashi explains the produce refers to grains and grapes. Rabbi Yirmi said, Rabbi Zerah, they shouldn't cast aspersions on their measurements of their rabbanan, for kol midas hachamim kenu. All the measurements of their rabbanan like that, they're given in exact terms. So the bar mitzvah boy excitedly used his new rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, which reminds us, the Gemara seeks a source for the rule. The produce is assigned to a given year based on when it reaches one-third of its maturity. Son and Bryce, Rabbi Yonasan and Yonasan says, the Pasuk states, I will ordain my bracha for you in the sixth year, and it will make a crop sufficient for the 3 years. Do not read it as it's written, for the 3 years, rather read it as though it's written, for a third of the crop. So that the sense of the Pasuk is that produce is considered finished when it's one-third ripe, and it's this moment that determines to which year's crop it should be assigned. So the Bar Mitzvah boy excitedly used his new Rabbanan's measurement kit to determine exactly when his plant reached a third of its growth, hoping it would last for 3 years, and also to check if his kidneys had taken root. Which reminds me, more brings a Mishnah in Shviz that teaches rice, mill, poppy, and sesame, which are all types of kidneys, that took root before Shoshana are tithed according to the past year and are permitted on the seventh year. But if they took root after Shoshana, they're forbidden during the seventh year and are tithed according to the coming year, since they are harvested a few at a time, resulting in some being picked before Shoshana and some after. The Rabban chose to assign them based on taking root. Daf Yadal. So the Simmer Daf Yadal at his hands, and we use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler, that must be more on Daf Yadal at hand. The juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, which reminds us. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the Rosh Hashanah for trees is in Shvat, and answers, based on the statement the Rebbe Elazar said in the Rebbe Oshia, that even though most of the winter season is yet to come, the Rosh Hashanah for trees is still in Shvat because most of the rain days of the year have already passed. And Rashi explains that these rains cause the sap to rise in the trees, and it's this that will cause the new fruits to emerge. So the juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, juggling Maaser Ani and Maaser Esrogim at the same time, which reminds us that there was an instance in Rabbi Akiva where he picked the fruits of an Esrog tree on the first of Shvat in the third year of the Shemitah cycle, and he subjected them to two tithes. Maaser Ani, in accordance with Beis Shammai, will hold that Rosh Hashanah trees begins on the first of Shvat, and Maaser Sheni, in accordance with Beis Sil, will hold that Rosh Hashanah does not begin until the 15th. Now the Gemara asks if we act in accordance with two chumras, since a Brisa taught the one who adopts the chumras of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the pasuk states, "Vaksil b'choshek teilech," and the fool goes in darkness. So how then could Rabbi Akiva act in accordance with both? The Gemara answers, Rabbi Akiva meant to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, but was unsure which date Beis Hillel held. Therefore, he gave both tithes. So the juggler performing in the freezing cold at the tree's birthday party, juggling Maaser Ani and Maaser Sheni Esrogim at the same time, threw three Esrogim up, high as the tree, and one down, as low as a vegetable. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says that Rabbi Akiva was subjecting the Esrog to two tithes according to the practice of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar due to his uncertainty as to the halacha in their malchokas. Rabbi Gamliel said an Esrog is similar to a tree in three ways and to a vegetable in one way. It's similar to a tree in regard to Orel, Ravai, and Shmi in that it goes Basar Chanata, and it's similar to a vegetable in one way. Its status regarding Maaser is determined at the time of Akita, at the time that it's picked. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says the Esrog is similar to a tree in every respect, even regarding Maaser. According to Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva was unsure as to whose opinion to follow, so he took both. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron, wishing you a great day and great learning.